So I'm in a very, 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 very good mood. We had a good Ekadasi yesterday. We had a nice program last night. And today I'm feeling very, very good. And this morning I got up early, which is always auspicious to get up early so that I could do nice chanting, and nice reading. So today, Krishna in my heart has inspired me to speak two stories concerning Krishna and Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the creator. In the Vedic system, there are three modes of nature: goodness, passion, ignorance, which govern every aspect of existence. Everything we do, eat, how we work, how we do everything is governed by the modes of nature. And because we have free will, we can choose to act in the mode of goodness, or we can choose to act in the mode of passion, and sometimes we choose to act in the mode of ignorance. The choice is ours, as we sang at the other program. It's up to you what you want to do. The choice is yours. That much independence or free will you have. So these three modes, a particular deity has taken charge. Lord Vishnu takes charge of the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness means maintenance. Just like you men, you have a family. You know how difficult it is to maintain a family. So much responsibilities, headaches, worries, because you have a family. So maintenance, that's the hardest. So Vishnu takes charge of the mode of goodness. Creation is taken charge of by Lord Brahma. He is the first created being at the dawn of cosmic creation. He is alone, and he gets directly all the Vedic knowledge directly from Narayan. Everybody say that name?
Narayan.
Yes, he gets directly the Vedic knowledge from Narayan. Then Brahma engineers the creation of the universe. He's the engineer. With the elementary ingredients supplied by Vishnu, Narayan, Brahma engineers the creation. But then there's another mode, the mode of ignorance, the mode of darkness, which is taken charge of by Lord Shiva. And when the time is necessary, when it's time to wind up the creation that Brahma engineered and Vishnu maintains, Lord Shiva's duty to the Lord is to start the process of destruction. He has a famous dance, Tandava Nritya. He starts the dance and it signals the cosmic destruction. Everything is wound up and then enters into the body of Mahavishnu. And then the cycle begins again. And these three personalities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Now Vishnu, you cannot become Vishnu. Neither you can become Shiva. But you could become Lord Brahma, because it is a post. Who becomes Lord Brahma? It is said that if you execute your human duties perfectly for 100 births, you can become a Lord Brahma. Not so easy. Lord Brahma is the most intelligent, qualified individual for that particular creation. It is said that Lord Brahma is Lord Brahma because he has the great quality of forgiveness, the ability to forgive others for their offenses to you is a great quality. So Lord Brahma has two particular pastimes that he exchanged with Krishna when Krishna was on this planet in your India 5,000 years ago. As I said last night, we are not telling stories. We are telling histories. They're not mythology. These are actual events. Because a great sage like Vyasadeva is not going to waste his valuable time writing mythology. That's not the kind of person Vyasadeva is. But he will select very special incidents, historical incidents that teach us very valuable lessons in life. So one day, when Krishna was 5 years old, the age of Kalmar, he decided that he wanted to have a picnic with all of his cowherd boyfriends. And it is described by Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva's son, that when Krishna arose that morning to go out into the forest to take care of the calves, there were thousands of cowherd boys joining him. And Krishna had thousands of calves, and each of the cowherd boys had thousands of calves. And they were dressed very nicely by their mothers. And many of them were dressed like Krishna. They had a flute, they had a bugle horn. Their mothers decorated them nicely, and their mothers made lunches for them because they were going to have a picnic in the forest where they grazed the calves. So Krishna is leading the cowherd boys, and sometimes Krishna goes ahead and the cowherd boys run to see who can be the first to touch Krishna. It's like a competition. And Krishna does this repeatedly. So they're all running to see who can touch Krishna. All the cowherd boys are of the same age, around 5 years old. And then the boys, because they're playing, sometimes they imitate the frogs, or they imitate birds, or they imitate the monkeys, or if they go to a cave, they'll yell into the cave, so they make a sound, and then they give the sound a bad name. They're playing. The cowherd boys are playing just like ordinary boys would play. But they're playing with Krishna. And as they're proceeding to the spot where Krishna is going to have lunch, all of a sudden, they see this great big mountain cave. But the cowherd boys are thinking, wait a second, this mountain cave, there is a very bad smell coming from inside. And some of the cowherd boys think, wait a second, this is not a cave. This is the mouth of a big serpent. And they're discussing amongst themselves, what is this big mountain cave? Krishna knows what is this mountain cave, because actually it was a big demon sent by Kamsa. This demon's name is Agasura. Aga means sin. So he's sin personified. He was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura, two demons that Krishna had already killed. He was sent by Kamsa, but Agasura was thinking, Krishna killed my brother and sister. I want to kill him, and then my duty to my brother and sister will be complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Is everybody okay?
Yeah, nothing broken.
Good. So the cowherd boys are thinking, even if this is a big serpent demon, we just saw Krishna kill Bakasura. What do we worry about? We have nothing to fear, because Bakasura had just swallowed Krishna, and Krishna came out and killed Bakasura by breaking his beak in half. And the cowherd boys all saw it. So they said, if Krishna can kill Bakasura, we're not worried about this. But as they entered the demon's mouth, they could smell the bad odors coming from the stomach of the python, because the python had eaten so many creatures, fish and other things. So it was giving off a very bad smell, like if you ever go to a fish market. It's like... So all the cowherd boys entered the mouth of the demon. And Krishna was like, oh. Krishna didn't want them to go in, but before he could stop them, they had all went in. And when the cowboys went in, they looked at Krishna smiling. Heck, we're going in. Haribo. So Krishna was thinking, oh, how can I save the cowherd boys? I have to kill this demon. So Krishna said, let me see. So then Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura. And Agasura was waiting. He was waiting for the right time. So then Agasura closed his mouth. Then Krishna began to expand himself. And as he was expanding himself, the python was also expanded. Now it's described that this python was 8 miles long. But as Krishna was expanding inside his mouth, the python was also expanding. But he could only go so far, and then Krishna was choking him. And because Krishna was choking him, because Krishna was expanding more than he could expand, eventually the serpent gave up its life. And the life air, the spirit soul, burst out of its head. And it waited in the sky. The spirit soul, which was dazzling like sunlight, waited in the sky. Krishna saw the cowherd boys had all died. He glanced at the cowherd boys. They came back to life. And they came marching out of the Agasura. And when Krishna came out, the spirit soul that was waiting in the sky merged into Krishna's body. And then Krishna and the cowherd boys continued to proceed to where they were going to have the picnic. And Krishna saw this one place. It was very, very beautiful. Nice flowers. Very green grass for the calves to eat. And Krishna said, yes, there are nice lotus flowers. This is a great spot for us to have our picnic. So they tied up the calves to trees, and there was grass for the calves to eat. And Krishna and all his cowherd friends, they sat down, and Krishna was in the middle. And all the cowherd boys were around him. Now here comes a miracle. There's one Krishna, thousands and thousands of cowherd boys, but each cowherd boy is seeing Krishna is looking at him. Pretty good, huh? Even though there's only one Krishna, and there's thousands, every one of them is thinking, oh, Krishna's looking at me. So they open their lunch baskets their mothers had prepared. Now, I forgot to tell you one thing. When they were walking through the forest, as boys would do. They were playing games. They were stealing one boy's lunch and giving it to a third. And when the boy who lost his lunch tried to get his lunch, it would still get passed. Then the boy would cry, and then they would give him back his lunch basket. So this was going on. Now when it came time for eating, they were all sharing the food that their mothers had. Everybody was sharing the other food that the mother had prepared. And it is explained that Krishna was eating rice mixed with yogurt and fruit. Prabhupada calls that preparation Krishna surprise. And the first time that I cooked for the deity, I made Krishna surprise, because I remembered that pastime. Rice, yogurt, and fruit. So all the cowherd boys, and how are they eating? Some are eating on the grass, some are eating on the trunks of trees, some are eating on rocks, whatever they can find, that's how they're eating. So Krishna is eating his lunch, and the cowherd boys are eating their lunch. All of a sudden, Krishna notices that the calves have wandered off. That can't happen. They're supposed to take, that's their job. These cowherd boys have a job. They have to take care of the calves. So Krishna, being very causelessly merciful, tells the cowherd boys, you stay, you continue eating, I'll get the calves. So just see how nice Krishna is. Even though he's the supreme, even though he's God, he lets his cowherd boys continue to eat, he'll go take care of the calves. While Krishna is gone, Lord Brahma appears on the scene. Now, another thing I forgot to mention. When Krishna killed Agasura, the demigods in heaven were watching. They themselves were afraid of Agasura. Even though the demigods drink nectar every day, they were afraid of Agasura. So when Krishna killed Agasura, the demigods in heaven were very joyful. They beat drums, and they showered flowers, and the Gandharvas were singing, and the Apsaras were dancing. And there was a commotion in heaven, and Lord Brahma heard, what's going on? So Lord Brahma saw, oh, something's going on with Krishna. So that's when Lord Brahma decided to come down. So, when Krishna went to see where the calves had gone, Lord Brahma wanted to test Krishna's power. Because Brahma is used to Narayan, the majestic, almighty. He's not used to Krishna being a five-year-old boy. So he wants to test, who is this Krishna? So Brahma decided, I'm going to play a trick on Krishna. So Brahma, by his mystic power, makes all the cowherd boys go to sleep. And he puts them in a cave. Now Krishna cannot find the calves. So he comes back to the picnic and sees, now the cowherd boys are missing. Krishna can immediately detect, this is the nonsense of Brahma. He's trying to test me. I will show him. So, Krishna could not return home alone. Krishna decided, I can't return home without the calves and the boys because the mothers will be in too much anxiety. So Krishna said, I will become all the cowherd boys and all the calves. And that's exactly what Krishna did. He expanded himself, and he made himself look like each and every cowherd boy, each calf, and it was the exact replica down to the minutest detail. So Krishna, at the end of the day, the cowherd boys and the calves return home for supper. So when Krishna returned, all the mothers and the cows didn't notice anything different because these expansions of Krishna looked exactly like their own. But there was one difference. The difference was now the mothers and the cows were more affectionate. More affectionate to these replicas. They didn't know. To them, all they knew, this is my son, and this is the calf. They didn't know that it was Krishna. But what did happen is now they started to display more affection. And this went on for 1 year. For one whole year, Krishna was manifesting as all the cowherd boys and calves. At the end of almost 1 year, say 5 or 6 days before the end of the year, Balaram, Krishna's first expansion, even he didn't know. Krishna was playing this trick, and even Balaram didn't know, which is quite surprising, because Balaram is God. How come he didn't know? Well, I guess if Krishna doesn't want you to know something, you won't know something. So one afternoon, the cowherd men were with the cows on the top of Govardhan Hill. And at the bottom of Govardhan Hill were the cowherd boys and the calves. And when the cows saw their calves, they ran down the mountain, but not with two legs like this, one leg. All four legs were like this, and they were running down the mountain like that. And the cowherd men were like, oh my God. They were frustrated. They couldn't control the cows. And when the cows came down the mountain, these calves were not newborn calves. These cows had newborn calves. But when they sold these older calves, the cows gave milk and started licking the bodies of these older calves, not the baby calves. So the cowherd men were very perplexed. But when the cowherd men saw their sons, they started to cry. And they started to embrace their sons and smell their head. Do you ever smell the head of your son? When my grandson was very small, he was living with me, and every day I would smell my grandson's head. It was such a beautiful, because I remember reading about smelling the head. So I would always smell my grandson Janardhan's head. And it was such a beautiful smell. So the cowherd men, when they saw their sons, they became overwhelmed. They were crying. So Balaram was thinking, this is very funny. And then Balaram started to figure it out. This is Krishna doing something here. This is not normal. Balaram figured out, this must Krishna. And then Krishna told Balaram what the real story was. Okay. So at the end of 1 year, Krishna returns to the scene of the crime. Now, it's 1 year on earth, but for Lord Brahma, it's only 1 second, because his time calculation is different from ours. So for Lord Brahma, it was that long, but on earth, it was 1 year. So when Krishna returned to the scene with all the cowherd boys and calves, Lord Brahma became... Wait. I thought I took all the calves and the cowherd boys and hid them in the cave. So Brahma was perplexed. Well, which one is which? So Brahma became bewildered because he thought, I put all the cowherd boys and calves in the cave, but here they are. Remember, they look exactly the same. So Brahma becomes very, very bewildered. Then Krishna really puts a whammy on him. All the cowherd boys and all the calves turn into Vishnu Narayan forms. And Lord Brahma is totally amazed. You can imagine thousands and thousands of Vishnu Narayan forms. And they were being worshipped. So there was loud prayers. And Lord Brahma felt very, very insignificant. And then after this display, Krishna changed the whole scene. And it was again Krishna with the cowherd boys and calves. So Lord Brahma realized he had tried to play mischief on Krishna, but the mischief was played on him. So the original boys and calves had been asleep for 1 year. They were retrieved by Krishna and they returned home with Krishna. So nobody knew anything, not even the cowherd boys, because they had been asleep. Brahma knew, Balaram knew, and of course Krishna knew. So that's one pastime of Krishna and Brahma. So, right after this, Brahma thought, I need to make my confession. So Krishna is standing by a tree. Remember, he's only 5 years old. He looks like a five-year-old boy. And he's standing by a tree, and Lord Brahma's body is golden. He has only four heads, as we will learn in the next story. And Brahma comes, and he falls down like a rod, dandavat. And he's crying, because he realizes that you don't play mischief with your Lord and Master. Not a good idea. Just like, say you have a boss. You don't go to your boss and try to play a joke on your boss. You may lose your job if the boss is not in a good mood. So Brahma was crying, and with his tears he was washing Krishna's feet. And Brahma, as I said earlier, he's the most intelligent person in the universe. That's why he's Lord Brahma. Most intelligent. It is said that Brahma's body is made mostly of intelligence. Our bodies, they say, is mostly water, right? So different entities have bodies. Like on the sun, they have fiery bodies. That's how they can live on the sun, the sun god has a fiery body. So Lord Brahma, his body is mostly made of intelligence. He has a form, but that form is made mostly of intelligence. So Brahma then begins to offer a stream of about 40 prayers, long Sanskrit prayers, glorifying Krishna. First he praises Krishna as the Supreme. Then he talks about how the process of bhakti is the superior process. And then Brahma says at the end of these 40 prayers, he says, somebody may say they know everything about Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, I don't understand anything. And then Brahma praises Krishna's residents of Vrindavan. Brahma says, these residents of Vrindavan are so exalted because they get to be with Krishna every day as one of their family members. Brahma said, in my next birth, I want to be a blade of grass or a tree or something right outside Vrindavan, so that I will get the dust of the lotus feet of the residents of Vrindavan on my head. Brahma is showing complete, complete humility. And Krishna forgives him, and after the prayers, Lord Brahma returns to his abode. So that's story number one. Now we will have a short